We know that today was day 31 of Svira. It's right around Shkia here in Springfield, New Jersey. So it's soon going to be the next day. But what I'd like to talk about is, of course, everything that we've done so far in this limud together from Reb Tzvi Meyer, from his kuntres of Dan Lekav Zechus, really all comes to the fore when we think about the teachings of the Tana Eloki, Rashbi, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, who, of course, Yahrzeit is tomorrow night on Lag BaOmer. And it's really an amazing, amazing experience to be up by Meiron, by Rashbi's burial place on Lag BaOmer. Normally, you have over 100,000 Jews. Like, people went, I went to the Sea of Mashas. I was blown away by the scene in MetLife Stadium. But can imagine, on one mountaintop up in northern Israel, you have many, many more than that, all trying to get close to the Ma'ara, trying to get close to Rashbi. And what I want to talk about tonight is something that Reb Tzvi Meyer speaks about at length, that Rashbi really is a key to understanding so much of the Midos that we've been discussing. The whole theme of this Shir series of our Lima together was about home improvement, about building up our homes, which is, of course, building up ourselves, right? That the light in the home, the feeling in a home is all based upon the feelings that we bring to it. And what we're trying to do is to work on ourselves, that despite these difficult circumstances, we can be positive and we can try and bring that sense of positivity to a home and hopefully draw it out of others. That's what we're trying to do. So the hakdama to this is that you have to know the brief introduction based on the teachings of Rashbi is that in Hasidic tradition, certainly based on Kabbalistic tradition, the day of Lag BaOmer is Ayom Venora. In the Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Tav Chav Ches, the law is actually of Rosh Chodesh, an area that doesn't really get so much attention in Shulchan Aruch Arachayim. It's in the end of the fourth chelik of the Mishnah Brura, after the laws of Erevin. The Shulchan Aruch actually tells us something very interesting. Tav Chav Ches, chapter 428 in Shulchan Aruch Arachayim, like the rules of the Jewish calendar and the rules of laning. And one of the rules of the calendar, it's very interesting, that you know what day of the week Lag BaOmer always falls out on? And again, you think, okay, Lag BaOmer is going to be Tuesday, Monday night, Tuesday. So what holidays was Monday night, Tuesday? It wasn't that long ago, but a little over 2 months ago, of course, was Purim. And when was Purim? Purim was Monday night, Tuesday. And the Shulchan Aruch says, it's in the Shulchan Aruch. It's a teaching in the Shulchan Aruch. Evidently, it has some religious significance that Purim and Lag BaOmer are always on the same day of the week. Reb Tzvi Meyer brings down from the Rishoner and the Be'el Zerov and the Chasam Sofer and so many others that there's a very, very deep connection between Lag BaOmer and Purim. One aspect of that connection we spoke about for the OU. It was recorded Tuesday Shir on the OU website at 1:30. I think they're releasing it about tefillos, how to improve our tefillah through the teachings of Rashbi. That's going to be on the OU website Tuesday, Lag BaOmer Day itself at 1:30. But Reb Tzvi Meyer brings down that from these tzaddikim, we know Purim, many say, is holier than Yom Kippur. And so in the Hasidic and Kabbalistic tradition, you'll find, one second, if Lag BaOmer is the same day of the week as Purim, because Lag BaOmer and Purim are really the same message, and again, we're not going to go into what that exactly is now, but then that means that Lag BaOmer is like Yom Kippur. And that's mamish what some tzaddikim say. Some tzaddikim say that tomorrow night and Tuesday is an awesome time for prayer, just like we say Purim is a time for amazing prayer. Just like we say Yom Kippur, Ne'ilah, the Chasima, unbelievable, Kalach HaTfilah, Hashem Elokim, the seven times, so too, Lag BaOmer has amazing, amazing potential. It's mamish like Yom Kippur. But what is it that happens every year in Yom Kippur? What do we do on Yom Kippur? Why is Ne'ilah so powerful? Because what we're doing on Yom Kippur is we're scrubbing ourselves clean. On Yom Kippur, what we're doing, and in this way, Yom Kippur is connected to Purim, because what Yom Kippur is when we get to the depths of who we really are. Right? It's on Yom Kippur when we could scream out, Baruch Shem Kivon Malchuso L'Olam Va'ed, after Shema. Why? Because we're like Malachim. That's who we are. We're Le'elu, Le'elu, in the highest places. The Hashem Hu Elokim, some say, it's at the end of Ne'ilah, the seven times. It's not that Hashem is leaving us. It's that we're going down. We were up there with Hashem in the highest place. Hashem Hu Elokim, as we're dropping down from the Kisei HaKavod through the seven heavens to come back down to earth. That's where we are on Yom Kippur. And that's part of the teaching of Lag BaOmer. Part of the teaching of Lag BaOmer is that it's on this day that we really get to see who we are. It's on this day of Lag BaOmer that we get to recognize the truth about every person. And this is what Reb Tzvi Meyer says. Everything that we've been learning up until now really comes from the Torah of Rashbi, really comes from the teachings of Rashbi. Why? Because what was Rashbi? Who was Rav Shimon Bar Yochai? We know he was the author, the teachings of all of the Zohar. He revealed so much of Jewish mysticism. And one of the deepest truths of Jewish mysticism is the multi-layered soul that we each have, to understand that what we're seeing of another human being is just the externals, is just a husk, that there's so much greater depth. It goes so much deeper than you see. And really, that's what Lag BaOmer is. You know, and that's what we have to understand. How to get to be able to see the depths. How to get beyond. And this is something that the Sfas Emes brings down, that when we talk about how we look at things, how we look at people, you know, when we judge people, so the Mishnah says, have they done as kol ha'adam, right? Lekaf zechus. And we know famous teaching of the Sfas Emes, the Ger Rebbe, have they done as kol ha'adam, that when you're judging the totality of a person, lekaf zechus, it has to be to the positive. Because if you could see the kol ha'adam, the totality of a person, some say kol ha'adam, you can never see the totality of a person. If you really knew everything that went into this person, what made him into her, made him into who he is, she into who she is, then certainly you would have an understanding and you could be able to see positive. But some kol ha'adam, if you see the totality of the person, on this level, on the lowest level, it's one soul of nefesh, then there's ruach, then there's neshama, then there's zechaya, then there's zechidah. To see kol ha'adam, the totality of a person, person's kodesh kadoshim. As we said from Tzvi Meyer last time, quoted that a Jew, a Yid, at Ikvus the Mashiach, is mamish kodesh kadoshim. And this, you should know, it's very interesting. The Rebbe Itzel of Orker, Zuchusayagin Aleinu, who we know from the famous story of the Ocean of Tears, the Reb Shlomo story. We're not going to tell that story now. It's a very, very long story. If you never heard this story of Ocean of Tears, try and go find it somewhere. It's a gewalt, a deep story. Reb Itzel of Orker, Zuchusayagin Aleinu. So he says, Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ahar, that when Klal Yisrael camped around the mountain, what does it mean? Why was that the prerequisite to Kabbalah Star? What does it mean they camped around the mountain? So he says, Vayichan Loshen Chein. Loshen Chein, of looking at the other with matnas chinam, with grace, with great compassion and feelings of affection. That's what Chein is. Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, that the Jewish people were there with Chein towards one another. And that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, when we looked at each other positively, when we were able to see the beauty and grace in one another, when we were able to look deeper, that's when the Eibishter is able to see that in us. And that's why you should know, when we talk about the Avodah of Svira, it's so interesting, because after we count Svira, after we say the Harachaman, there's this special parak of Tilim that we say. Lamnatzeach beneginos mizmar shir, right? What are the first two words we say in this parak after the introductory pasuk? Elokim yichanenu. Hashem, may you be gracious with us. May you be compassionate with us. May you show us affection. And that's really what Sfira is all about. Being able to see the goodness in who we are, but it's not enough to see the goodness in who we are. We have to work hard to be able to see the goodness in each other. And it's an avoda. We know this isn't simple. It takes a lot of work. But there's an amazing story that I wanted to share with you. I've shared this story in Shir and Shul before, but it's a story that you have to review. I know we Torah, you have to review over and over. Stories normally, you hear a story once, you remember it for a long time. But this is a gewaldige story from Reb Tzvi Meyer. Just what it means to be able to see a person, what it means to be able to understand what a Jew is, who a Jew is. So There was one time in Yerushalayim, he claims the Ma'aseh Shai Kachaya, this is a story that happened, that there was a father, his mechanech, his children, that Torah is worth everything, Torah is worth more than gold, than silver, than diamonds, Torah is worth everything in the world. And he had a bunch of little children, the oldest son, a six-year-old boy, really, he learned this lesson from his tati, that Torah, Yikarim Pninim, is worth more than pearls, than gold, than silver, than diamonds. So he goes once into the makolet down the block from his house, and he takes out a candy bar, a chocolate bar, and he puts it on the counter, and he tells the makolet owner, he says, "I want to teach you a Mishnah." The makolet owner looks at him and says, "What?" He says, I wanna teach you a Mishnah for the candy bar, for the chocolate. And the makolet owner is like befuddled. He's like, "Yingle, what are you talking about?" And he said, "What do you mean? If you give me this chocolate, I'll teach you a Mishnah. A Mishnah is worth more than $1,000. The price of the chocolate bar is 7 shekel. So I'll give you a Mishnah and I'll take the candy bar." And the store owner says, "Okay, listen, my tire, Kinder, Ketanchik," says, "go get the 7 shekel and you can take the chocolate bar. You don't have the 7 shekel, I'm sorry. However many Mishnahs you're going to teach me, you're not getting the chocolate bar." And the boy went home so disappointed. He thought that, you know, he was going to teach this makolet owner a Mishnah, and he was going to get the chocolate bar. I mean, his father told him, Torah's worth more than $1,000, so what's the big deal? It was a good deal for the makolet owner. So he comes home, his father sees he's very disappointed, but when the father comes home, he says, "What's wrong?" And he says, "Abba, I don't understand. You told me Torah's worth so much. I went to the makolet today. I tried to buy a chocolate bar with the Mishnah. And the owner of the makolet, the makolet guy, he said, you know, Gayavek, he says, bring me 7 shekel and you have your chocolate bar." So the father says, "Listen, I'll explain to you tomorrow." He says, "Ah, but it's not true." He goes, "Of course what I said is true. Torah is worth more, a Mishnah is worth more than $1,000. But I'll explain it to you tomorrow." The next day, the father tells the boy, "You'll go to cheder late." He takes out mamish, a diamond he had from his grandmother. That was a beautiful diamond. Never used it yet. It's been in the family. It was given to him from his grandmother. That he was going to use this diamond one day. And it was a beautiful diamond. It was a kenainahara, a nice sized diamond. And so he told his son, he said, let's see how much Yankel in the fruit store will give me for this diamond." And he goes in and he shows it to Yankel. Yankel says, "A diamond? You want this diamond?" He says, "The diamond, take some peppers, take some cucumbers, some oranges for the diamond." He's like, "Oh, okay." He goes to the hardware store. He says, "Elchanan, what would you give me for this diamond?" He says, "Wait, a diamond? For that, take a couple of hammers, some nails. You want a watch? Okay, take a watch." He says, "Okay." And he says to his son, "You see what they'd give me for this diamond?" He says, "Not a lot." He says, "Now let's go to the jeweler a couple of blocks away who says jewelry." He goes to the jeweler. He says, "How much do you want for this diamond?" The jeweler's looking at it. He takes out his things, looking. He says, "I have no idea. This is such a beautiful stone. I don't even know how to evaluate it. I want to bring it to my Rebbe in diamonds to see what he would say about this. Do you have time?" He says, "I'll drive you. My car's outside. I want to know how to value such a stone." He says, "Okay." They drive mamish to by Talpiot. There's like the diamond district of Jerusalem. And they go to his Rebbe and diamonds. And he's looking at it. The Rebbe and diamonds is looking at it. And he's like, "This is beautiful." He says, for a stone like this, for the stone alone, I'll give you 20,000 shekel. Just for the stone." And the guy says, 20,000 shekel? 20,000 shekel. "No, thank you. I can't part with it. Not yet." He said, gives him his card. "Hold on to it. If you want to sell that, come to me first. I'll match any price." So they go back and he tells his son, he says, "Yingle," he says, "how much did the fruit store man want to give me? Some oranges, some peppers, some cucumbers. How much did they want to give me in the hardware store? A couple of hammers and nails. Okay, maybe a watch. You know why? Because they weren't mevinim. They didn't really understand what the value of the stone was. Someone who knew the value of the stone, who had a little bit of an inkling, the first jeweler, he knew that he didn't even know enough. and he had to bring it to his Rebbe in diamonds to try and give an evaluation of what this stone is worth. So he says to his son, he says, tell me. So now you understand why the Makolet man wouldn't give you a chalk. He doesn't know what a stone is worth. He doesn't know what a mission is really worth. He doesn't know what the mission is really worth. The mission is worth $1,000 more. He didn't understand. So what do you expect from him? Reb Tzvi Meyer says, with this Maisa, he says, not only who knows how to value what Torah is, but who knows how to value what a Jew is? Who knows how to value a Yid? Only the biggest tzaddikim. Only the biggest tzaddikim know who a Yid is. And you should know, it's a Maisa Shkai Chaya, a Talmud of mine, by some non-Jewish workers. He said one year, in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, they had to go into a Jewish neighborhood. They had a job there. And they saw a Mocher Arba Minim with a bunch of Esrogim out on the table. And he told one of his workers, Jose, you want to go get one of those for your salad? You want to cut that up for your salad? And he says, well, it looks good. And what is it? He goes, a citron. He goes, oh, okay. He goes, Jose, you know how much that'll cost you? He goes, how much? He goes, $50. And the guy's like, what? The guy's like, you crazy, $50 for this lemon? And quickly go, put it down carefully, right? Because who knows how to evaluate an esrog? This guy had no hasag of what an esrog is. Again, a Jew knows hasag, what an esrog is. And maybe you have to be a bigger maven to understand how chashuv an esrog is. And Rav Tzvi Meyer says, to be maven, what a Jew is? Even a Jew doesn't know who a Jew is. So often we don't even know ourselves how great we are. One of my favorite stories, a beautiful story. I'm sure, I know I've used it in Shul. I apologize for using it again. But a beautiful, beautiful story with Rav Kahanim and the Panovich Rav. Rav Kahanim and the Panovich Rav. Zechus Yagin Aleinu, what a tzaddik. He survived the Shoah only because he was a member of the Lithuanian parliament. He was able to escape Lithuania. He had to leave his wife and all his younger children. The Kahanim in name survives because he sent a son to Eretz Yisrael to learn before the war. And he was the builder of Panovich and Bnei Brak, and an unbelievable visionary of building of Torah. Amazing, amazing person. And he'd go all over the world fundraising, right? They say when there was a question whether there's extraterrestrial life, whether there's life on Mars, the Satmar Rebbe was once said, I'm sure there's no life on Mars. So someone once said to him, how can you be sure there's no life on Mars? So Rabbi Yelish, the Satmar Rav, Zechus Yagin Aleinu, said, because if there was life on Mars, the Panovich Rav would have already been there fundraising. That's what the Satmar Rebbe, Satmar Rav, said about the Panovich Rav. So the Panovich Rav was one time in an airport in Rome. And there was another Yid that was there. But that Yid was a secular Israeli. He was a professor of history that went to Rome to give lecture. And he saw this distinguished-looking rabbi in the waiting area, both waiting for the plane. And he's thinking, I know him. How do I know this rabbi? And then he realized, that's Rav Kahaneman, the rabbi from Bnei Brak, the Panovich Rav. Because Rav Kahaneman was involved in Israeli politics. He was a very public figure. He was often in the newspaper and quoted. So this guy said, you know, normally he wouldn't go up to the Panovich Rav. Who's he to go up to the Panovich Rav? Hey, let it go. But he decided, you know what? I'm here, two Jews in an airport in Rome. I'm going to go say hello to the Panovich Rav. So he goes up to the Panovich Rav and he says, Shalom Aleichem. And the Panovich Rav looks at him, guy without a yarmulke, maybe didn't look too Jewish. He says, Ata Yudi? And the guy goes, Ken, bevadai. Panovich Rav jumps up and gives him a big, big hug. Mamish, a warm embrace. And the guy felt a little awkward. The Panovich Rav, he knew it was his chashav, a yid, a tzaddik, a survivor, a builder of Torah. And he says to the Panovich Rav, Im harav, I have it here, Im harav hayodeh, eza posheani, lo haya mechabik u'menashek oti. If the Rav would only know what kind of sinner I am, he wouldn't hug me and kiss me like this. To which the Panovich Rav shot back. He said, "Im hayita yodea eich Hakadosh Baruch Hu ohev otcha afilu sheata posheya, lo hayita posheya kol kach. If you would only know how much Hashem loves you, even when you sin, you wouldn't sin so much." And the secular, distinguished Israeli professor of history, in his memoirs, wrote that he didn't become Baal Tshuva. But after that encounter with the Panovich Rav, he absolutely tried to live a more thoughtful life and started to try to improve his ways and connect more to his Judaism. And we see that even this professor, a brilliant fellow, I'm sure, he had no idea who he is. He didn't know who he really was. Right? Like, who am I that the Panovich Rav should kiss me? But the Panovich Rav says back, if you only knew how much Hashem loves you, when you're sinning, in the midst of your sinning, Hashem, you wouldn't sin so much. Because we're so hidden from ourselves. And this is what a lot of Lag BaOmer is really about. A lot of Lag BaOmer is really about understanding that Amir Kulam Tzadikim. Rashbi revealed to us the depths of Torah, the Sisrei Torah, the secrets of Torah. And at the same time, as we've said, Kuchabrich of Yisrael V'arayis Echad, when the Zohar it says that Hashem, the Jewish people, and Torah are one, that the secret of a Jew, we spoke about this Thursday night also, that the secret, if the Torah's secrets are so deep, Rashbi had to reveal them to us, then the secrets of who a Jew is, of what a Jew is, do you know how deep that is? Do you know how deep a Jew is? Who can really see the secrets of a Jew? Who can say that? Only the biggest of the big, only the greatest tzaddikim could see through the layers, could see kol ha'adam, the totality of a person. You should know that this is what many tzaddikim brings down. He brings down that the Rashbi in the Zohar says, shekol Yehudi hu sosam degalia, sosam, every Jew is hidden and is revealed. And this is why Tzvi Meir says, because of this teaching in the Zohar, he thinks that's what the Baal Tanya and other tzaddikim say, that the Or of Rashbi is Oro Shel Mashiach. That the light of Rashbi is really the light of Mashiach. Because what does Mashiach have to do? The light of Mashiach is to bring Kimala Haaretz Deyas Hashem. That the whole world will be filled with knowledge of God. That's what Mashiach's going to do. The light of Mashiach is going to reveal Hashem's Chachma everywhere. And you know what Rashbi does? Rashbi reveals the greatness, the godliness in every soul, the godliness in every person. And in this way, of course, it's connected, the teaching to Purim, in which way it's that Lag BaOmer is connected to Purim. Purim is also about revealing that which is hidden. But this is something, just in a practical way, Reb Tzvi Meir, bringing all of these beautiful Torahs, he brings down a very important practical yesod about a halachic concept called Tinok Shenishba. We know a Tinok Shenishba is a Jew that's captured as a child amongst the non-Jews, that's raised without Torah mitzvos, and that such a Jew is not responsible for his or her averus, because they were a Tinok Shenishba. They were an infant that was captured by non-Jews who weren't raised with Torah mitzvos. How could you expect anything more? And Reb Tzvi Meir says, why is it that we apply Tinok Shenishba only to Jews that grew up mamish, not knowing they're Jews? Jews grew up without anything. Why can't we see the Tinok Shenishba in Frum Jews? Every Frum Jew, to a degree, when we have a Nisayon, who's to say that we're not a Tinok Shenishba for that? The person that talks in davening, was he ever really taught what davening is, that he should appreciate davening? A person that speaks Lashon Hara, does that person, Chas V'Shalom, a person ever learn really what Lashon Hara is? If they really would know, how would they ever speak Lashon Hara? So Tzvi Meir says, what we have to do is we have to know that every person today, especially in Ikfas of the Mashiach, especially when the darkness is so strong, that every person is Ki'ilu at Tinok Shenishba. And when we see, if we see bad in another person, we have to try and understand that how can we hold them to a standard of Torah mitzvahs? How were they raised? What can we expect from them? I remember one time I remember Reuven Feinstein Shluta one time told me, before I went to Eretz Yisrael to be a Rebbe, my brother's yeshiva, he said, Chaim, understand, being a Rebbe is a tremendous achrayus. It means you have to be mekabel your talmidim ba'ahava. You have to accept your talmidim with love to really be a Rebbe to them. They can make you their Rebbe, but you have to make them your talmid. And you really have to love them. It has to be a deep relationship. And he says, and you're going to have to work hard sometimes to love them. And I didn't really understand what he meant until, you know, you get to Eretz Yisrael and you have talmidim. And some are gewalt, some are so sweet right away, like butter. But sometimes there's a tough guy. And to be mekabel and ba'ahava, you really have to work at it. And it's not simple. And I still remember once calling Rav Moshe Wolfson Shlita, the Mashgiach of Torah Vadas, the Rav of Munis Yisrael in Borough Park, Mamish, one of the great, great tzaddikim of our time. I was zocha to meet with him a number of times and to ask him Eitzah a bunch of times. And I called him and I said, you know, Kayesa Mashgiach, how do I come to love a person that's so arrogant? The guy is so arrogant. So how do I come to love him? And Rav Wolfson said, tell me, did he grow up in a home where Torah and mitzvos are like the most important thing? I said, I don't think so. He says, did he grow up in a home where Shabbos was Malei Kedusha, where Shabbos was like La'ila, La'ila? I'm not sure, I don't think. Did he go to yeshivas where they learned with a bren, with a fire? I said, no, strike three. He says, so what do you expect from the person? What can you expect from the person? What, he's a shtickle arrogant? How could he not be arrogant? He's a shtickle baltai. How could he not be a baltai? He comes to Minyan, he puts on tefillin, and he sits there. If he never saw the fire of tefillin, what do you expect from him? And Rav Wolfson taught me what Rav Tzvi Meyer is saying, that when we talk about the depths of a Jew, it's nice to talk to the Pinto Layid, like Rav Tzvi Meyer says. You know, in a year you'd go to Meiron and you see the guy with the ponytail and the tattoos and the earrings. You know, barely with a kippah. Someone put a kippah on his head. You see him crying by Rashbi's cavern. You say, oh, you see the Pinto Layid coming out. But he says, why is it any different? And you see a Jew dressed fully as a Jew that Nebuch has some missteps and has some mistakes that they make. So why don't we appreciate that in that person? And why can't we look past that in that person? That person's also like a tinok shenishba to a point. And so when we're talking now about working on positivity and seeing the positive in others, what we have to recognize, what we said, is that we're only seeing the outer shell of a person. To be able to really appreciate what a person is, you have to see kala adam, to see all the levels of a person. Mamish, who are we to see that? Who are we to see that? Because Rashbi is teaching us in the Zohar HaKadosh that every person is sus and vigali. There's the hidden part of the person, and this is the revealed part of the person. But you have to know that the hidden part of the person might even be hidden from the person himself. Like that history professor in the airport in Rome, he had no idea who he is. He doesn't know. And we'll end with one teaching of Rashbi, who says that when we talk about what Lag BaOmer means, he says, remember this gematria. And it's an interesting gematria. He says, the gematria of Lag BaOmer is Ratzon. That's what the gematria of Lag BaOmer, he says, is the gematria of Ratzon. And when we think about what Lag BaOmer is about, Rav Tzvi Meyer says, maybe that's the essence of Lag BaOmer. That Lag BaOmer is when we can touch our real Ratzon, our real deep will. And this is why we're going to talk tomorrow night. Tomorrow night is supposed to be Parsha Shir, and we'll do, I hope, a little Parsha Bahar B'Chukosai, but also special Lag BaOmer, connecting it to Lag BaOmer, that what is that Ratzon HaPanimi of a Jew? And how do we get to tap into, to touch that deepest, deepest will? What really matters? What do we really care about? What should be really important to us? And that's really a challenge. And that's part of the challenge of building up our midos, of recognizing who we are and what we're capable of. One of my favorite balaturim that I say all the time, that I think of at least once a day, without exaggeration, I think of this balaturim every day, at least once a day, if not multiple times a day. The Balaturim, one of the great Rishonim, the son of the Rosh, who wrote the first Shulchan Aruch, the Arba Turim, who wrote a commentary on the Chumash. So he writes in his commentary on Chumash and Shema, Ve'afta es Hashem Elokecha, v'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol me'odecha. And you shall love Hashem your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all of your ma'od, either all of your wealth, physical possessions, all of your character traits. And the Balaturim says, Ve'ahavta, in the same letters as Ha'avos, the forefathers, our ancestors. A Jew thinks, I have to love Hashem with all my heart, with all my soul, with all of everything that I have. How can I do that? What does the Torah expect of me? And the Baal HaTorah says, you know how you can do that? Because you know where you come from? You come from Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak, Rivka, Yaakov, Rachel, Leia. And Avram Avinu, we say, served Hashem umatzasa es levavo ne'eman lefanecha. Hashem found Avram's heart was totally full of faith for Hashem, and we are the children of Avram, so we can have that faith. V'chol nafshecha Yitzchak Avinu was willing to give himself up on Har HaMoriah at the Akedah. That's b'chol nafshecha, b'chol me'odecha, with everything you have, despite all of the trials and tribulations, ups and downs. That's Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu promised Hashem to give him Ma'aser Nikol, and Yaakov Avinu had a tremendously troubling life. When you think about Yaakov Avinu's life, we see the interesting bonds between Yaakov and David. Some say that it was the soul connection was Adam to Yaakov to David. Those were the neshamas hakalolos. Those were the all-encompassing souls of Adam of all of creation, Yaakov of all the Jewish people, and David HaMelech, Malka Mashiach, the king also has to have a soul, a heart that encompasses all of the Jewish people. And so this is when we put that Lag BaOmer is a day when we realize who we really are. Ha'avos, we realize where we come from. And this is also how we have to be able to see ourselves, to appreciate ourselves, but also how we have to look at other Jews. And how we have to look at the other Jews in our own home. To look at them with awe, to look at them with such love, with such admiration of who they are, of where they come from. And so often, they don't know who they are. And maybe by us looking at them with such eyes, with such enlightened perspective, maybe, we'll be able to let them see. Maybe we'll be able to give them the ability to recognize who they are. And that's really what Rashbi does for us, Chevra. And that's why Tzvi Meyer writes, the shmuz that he gives, this one that we're learning tonight, this one that we finished learning tonight, there's a little bit more, but we're not going to get to it now, but this shmuz is a shmuz that Reb Tzvi Meyer gave about Tikkun HaMidos in light of the teachings of Rashbi, how Rashbi tells us what a Jew is, and we should be zocha to realize what a Jew is, who we are, and Be'ezrus Hashem, this will help us come to the Lev Tov that Sfira is all about, which we know Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai says is the key to all of Sfira, to develop that Lev Tov. Okay, Ba'atzlacha Rab, everyone. Have a great night. And really just have tremendous success in your Avodas HaKodesh with your holy work. Laila Tov.